I'm Suzanne Bona. I really loved my very first brand new car, which was a stick shift Nissan Sentra, completely stripped down because that's all I could afford on my public radio paycheck. But it was a wonderful car. It had that new car smell, so that was really kind of fun. I loved that that Nissan Sentra was mine. To donate your car to WSHU Public Radio, just go to WSHU.org.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Election Day is tomorrow, and we're going over some of the key races to watch in our region. Daylight savings ended over the weekend, how we can better adjust to the shorter days, plus a closer look at the blue dot on an otherwise pretty red Suffolk County. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. A million Long Islanders have voted early, according to officials. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more on the Long Island congressional races that have attracted national attention ahead of tomorrow.
Republican incumbent Nick LaLota is defending his first district seat on the East End against Democratic challenger John Avlon. The former CNN anchor has chipped away at LaLota's lead in the polls, tightening the contest to just 3 percentage points. It's a different picture in New York's 4th Congressional District in Nassau County, where Republican incumbent Anthony D'Esposito's edge in the polls has fallen by double digits. He's facing the same opponent he beat in 2022, Democrat Laura Gillen. Both races are key battlegrounds that could determine which party controls the House. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
All 5 incumbent Democratic representatives in Connecticut will defend their seats against Republican challengers tomorrow. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
The first district race will see incumbent Democrat John Larson face Republican challenger Jim Griffin. In the second district, Democratic incumbent Joe Courtney has been challenged by Republican Mike France. Incumbent Democrat Rosa DeLauro of the 3rd District is running against Republican challenger Mike Massey, seeking her 17th term. Incumbent Democrat Jim Himes will face challenger Republican Michael Goldstein for the 4th District House seat. The 5th District House race, widely seen as the most competitive, will see Democratic incumbent Jahana Hayes face challenger Republican George Logan. In Connecticut, polls will open at 6 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Daylight saving time ended yesterday, and that means clocks went back 1 hour, and it'll be dark outside when most people get home from work. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the darker days can lead to seasonal affective disorder.
The disorder is nicknamed SAD. Rightfully so, because the most common symptom is sadness. It's caused by shorter days with less sunlight and coincides with the colder seasons. Yale School of Medicine psychiatrist Dr. Paul Dezan says light therapy, sitting in front of a really bright light for 30 minutes every morning, can help.
We're essentially exposing people to a summertime level of illumination, say at 7 in the morning, and that turns winter into summer. For the majority of patients who have seasonal mood change.
The light boxes are available for purchase and at-home use. Dezan says they should be at least 10,000 lux. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The hamlet of Brentwood was once home to a free love colony. Coming up, a look at how that history could play a role in elections today.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Behind the beautiful sounds of classical music are stories that connect us to people with unique perspectives and experiences outside our own. I'm Emily Boyer. Join me for music that draws us together. Weekday mornings, starting a little after 9, on 91.1 WSHU and WSHU.org.
Two ports in Connecticut are to get nearly $40 million from the EPA to help reduce greenhouse emissions. The New Haven Holdings Gateway Terminal at the New Haven Port will get $34 million from the Clean Ports Program, and the New London State Pier is set to get $5 million. The money will be used to acquire a mobile shore power unit to provide electricity to docked vessels. A Suffolk County jury has found the Bayshore School District 100% liable in a teacher sex abuse case and ordered the district to pay $25 million in damages. A former student claims they were abused in the 90s by an elementary school teacher. The jury unanimously agreed the district was negligent for not acting on at least 4 complaints about that teacher. The New York State trooper who was shot on Long Island's Southern State Parkway Wednesday has been released from the hospital. He pulled up behind a car that was stopped on the left median and was shot in the leg by the driver as he approached, who then sped away. Police say the suspect, who is still at large, is a male driving a dark car with temporary New Jersey tags. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong is one of 4 state attorneys general, leading a coalition of almost every state in condemning election-related violence. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
47 state attorneys general joined the statement, along with some from U.S. territories. They called on Americans to respect the integrity of the vote and said violence has no place in the democratic process. They said they would enforce the law against any illegal acts that threaten the election. Polls show many voters expect election-related violence, and some violent incidents have already happened, like the burning of a ballot box in Washington state. Only Indiana, Montana, and Texas refused to join the statement condemning election violence. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Past U.S. elections might make you feel like there's no rhyme or reason to how people vote, but one Long Island hamlet's history may provide some clues as to how it began to vote blue. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar has more.
In past elections, Brentwood in Suffolk County has differed from its neighbors. It's a blue dot on an otherwise red map. Historically, it's been a community that stands out. Driving through the hamlet, it looks like a lot of suburban America. A strip mall, a park, a school, then a little wooden building in the shape of an octagon.
You are looking at a 150-plus-year-old structure that was in use in a utopian community and is now sitting in a brand spanking new parking lot.
That's Ellen Edelstein. She's the president of the Brentwood Historical Society. And the utopian community she's talking about is Modern Times, a free love society that was started in 1851. Its schoolhouse, that octagon, still sits in Brentwood.
There was no formal government, no judges, no police, no none of that stuff. Women could vote. Women had an equal say in everything.
The free love community enjoyed moderate success for over a decade, but fell apart in 1864. Some say the community's trade and barter system wasn't as enticing as actual money. A penciled history from an actual Modern Times resident, Charles Codman, says it fell because there wasn't a charismatic leader to spread the word.
So the concept of Modern Times fell apart, but the community, the hamlet, remained and was renamed Brentwood.
Edelstein says there's no distinct connection between Modern Times and the current hamlet's voting patterns. But she does think there's something about Free Love Society turned Brentwood that drew families in. Those families came from diverse backgrounds, influencing the way Brentwood votes. Joshua Ruff is a director for collections and programming at the Long Island Museum.
The origins of Brentwood as a Puerto Rican community go back to 1947, when a Spanish language newspaper in New York was basically advertising out to readers about lots for $150.
Ruff says after the Puerto Rican community settled into Brentwood, other Spanish-speaking immigrants gravitated there. Now, about three-fourths of the population identify as Hispanic. This is a large departure from neighboring communities, which are more white and more Republican. Outside of the hamlet, the story of the free love community isn't as common. Brentwood has a reputation for crime, especially after an increase in gang activity started about 2 decades ago. But some residents think it's an inaccurate reputation. Solomon Benavides is a mechanic in town and has lived here for almost 20 years after he moved from El Salvador.
This car is my car for move my tools for work every day. I park it outside of the house and the street. I never lock at the door. I never lose anything, nothing.
Joseph Papello grew up in the area. He believes that deep in Brentwood's cultural roots, modern times is still alive.
This place was an original draw to a group of people who were outside of the box, and that it has been sort of a center point for that kind of energy.
Even though the schoolhouse has no more students, it's set to become a modern times museum, and many other structures are long gone. There's still a touch of that spirit.
You know, they spun a lot of gold out of hay. There's something going on here that is just different than anywhere else.
Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And if you have any questions about tomorrow's election, check out the WSHU voter guide available on our website. And you can follow along with the local election results tomorrow night on Instagram. That's where we're going to be sharing the results as they come in. And of course, you can tune in live on the radio as well. If you're not already following us on Instagram, take a moment to do that now. We are at WSHU Public Radio, and you'll be all set for tomorrow. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.